Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is a special edition of the Hoops HD Report coming to you on the evening of Monday, March 16th. I'm your host up here, Chad Sherwood. We've got a full panel here with us. I have Joby Fortson and Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org to the sides of me. Down in the center square, we have David Griggs. Off to his sides, we have Mike Cha and John Tytel. Way down the bottom, blacked out. We don't have video for him, but Zach is back with us as well. Obviously, there is a lot to go over of what happened here as the entire, not only world of college basketball, but the entire world itself has changed, quite honestly. And from the last time we did one of these videos until today, I just want to start by just going, you know, briefly, you know, going over what happened here. Like, I mean, you have to be living under the rock, I guess, not to know. But we were in a point in terms of college basketball where just a little over a week ago, the NCAA was announcing that all was good. The NCAA tournament was going to continue on as scheduled. Then things started to break last Tuesday, which was 6 days ago, when the Ivy League canceled their tournament. The Mid-American and the Big West came out and said, okay, we're going to do no fans at our events. But even then, it still looked like things were going to go ahead. Suddenly, we had last Wednesday, where during the day, you start seeing more and more conferences start saying, we're not going to allow fans at our events. The NCAA suddenly joins in and says, you know what, no fans at the entire NCAA tournament, but the games will go on. Then came Wednesday night, which is, I think, was the tipping point for everything, when the NBA with Rudy came out and, you know, he had the coronavirus. NBA suspends its season within minutes of that announcement. We had the situation in the WAC tournament, the women's games, that caused the game to be stopped mid-game. And I think we suspected it by that time. I mean, watching games Wednesday night, for me personally, my heart was out of it. I just knew that this was not going to be able to go ahead as it was. And sure enough, by Thursday morning, other than half a men's game in the Big East and a few women's games, nothing was played Thursday. And by about 4:30 Thursday afternoon, the entire winter and spring sports calendars for the NCAA for all sports was done, was canceled, was over with. And quite honestly, we're seeing what's going on now. We're in a position here nationally where a lot of us are seeing most businesses being closed down. Rocco, I know you're in the Bay Area there. You are, you know, have basically a shutter in place type of order coming in. And things are not looking good in terms of, you know, this country, at least for the next several weeks as we try to get past this. What I wanted to do tonight, though, is give each member of our panel here a chance to discuss anything or everything they want to discuss about what happened, about the past season, if you like, about anything. And then we got a little, you know, try to make some light things here towards the end of the show. But I'm going to kind of go in order around the screen here as we have it set up. And Rocco, let me start with you out there in San Francisco Bay Area. How you doing, first of all? And then let's take it from there.
Hey, Chad. Doing okay. Honestly, if I wasn't a sports fan, I'd probably be lost. I think the timeline of events that you described was really well articulated, because I had a very similar experience on Wednesday. I think even just knowing that the Ivy League took it serious enough to cancel their tournament, we had the MAC and the Big West say no fans before Wednesday started, we knew that we were in for a much different championship week from there. I think Wednesday there was somewhere around 40 different significant events. You listed probably 7 or 8, but that was the day too for me where I really started sinking in that it doesn't make sense for these games to keep going. And the Huskies are, you know, the team I've always been closely affiliated with growing up in Seattle. They played at somewhere around 2 o'clock local time here. I watched the game against Arizona. By the time that game ended, I mean, my heart wasn't even in that game. And for that to happen during a Pac-12 tournament with everything on the line, I knew something was completely off. From that point forward, I don't even think I had another game on. I was checking scores sporadically, but I was quickly trying to learn about how we can do things here at home, my wife and I, to start. Credit to her, too. Like, she's been on top of this well before. I even got wind of it and helping family members, friends in our circles, as many people that we could, to just learn from these other countries that have already been through these stages. And honestly, since that time, I've really kind of turned the page and really started focusing on what we can do to get ourselves ready. And we've been hunkered down here at our house since last Wednesday, really. We've gone to the store a couple times, but really I haven't been to an office, haven't been around people, besides each other since, you know, last Wednesday. So I feel like we're ahead of the country in some ways, but I think we kind of had to be because things hit the West Coast a lot sooner than most of the rest of the U.S.
Yeah, that's we just wish you the best there. I know that things are getting really tight there out in your area, and hopefully, you know, for your sake, at least hopefully you're the ones that will be getting out of this sooner than some of the rest of us over here on some of the areas of the country. I'm luckily in my county where I live in, there hasn't been a single confirmed case yet. Although given that testing runs about a week behind, I'm sure that it's out here already. Let me keep going right around here. And Mr. Tytel, let me bring you up next.
Sure. I was told I have a hot mic, so I'm going to kind of whisper and stay far away from the mic. If I need to go up or down, just give me a thumbs up or thumbs down. So my own experience, the good news is I feel fine. I've been teleworking since Friday. As a single guy who lives in a studio apartment, I feel especially qualified to self-quarantine, and so far so good. I was a little terrified last week because I attended the CAA tourney in D.C. and then got an email the day after Hofstra won the title saying, oh, by the way, we had a ref who was tested positive. Fortunately, I wasn't sitting courtside or high-fiving the ref, so I feel fine. I called my doctor. He said, if you don't have symptoms, you don't need to come in and get tested or anything. But I feel bad for teams like Hofstra. Not only, like, have they waited 19 years to make the NCAA tournament and then to find out you don't make it and then to find out there was a ref in your building at your tournament, you tested positive. I can't imagine what Coach Joe Mahalik and the guys are going through. As far as another coach, I feel bad for a guy like Joe Jones at BU. His brother James made it from Yale. This was going to be like the big Jones family reunion in the tournament. And he's never made one. This is his first time. He's been coaching for a long time. And then he finds out the hard way that he can't. I feel bad for a guy like Marcus Howard, who finished, I believe, 21st on the all-time NCAA scoring list. I don't think he was going to get the number one or anything in Kecmarović, but he had a couple of good games left in him. He could have made a big dent, and 21 is nothing to feel bad about, but I do feel bad. Like, that's something where his stats are impacted by something that was out of his control.
Yeah, you know, I personally was at the Metro Atlantic tournament on Tuesday. You know, there wasn't very many fans there. I've not, thankfully, not heard of any reports of the coronavirus having been there in Atlantic City. But it got, you know, it got me thinking afterwards. You know, there were players and staff from Iona there, which is in New Rochelle, New York, which is one of the areas that's being really hard hit right now. And it's not something I even thought about when I went to those games on Tuesday. But, you know, as we saw played out Wednesday and Thursday, I started, you know, saying, okay, am I okay? Am I okay? Yeah, I'm fine so far. Let me keep going around here. And Zach, let me bring you in here next.
Yeah, it's, I keep saying it to you guys, but it just, it's still the overall thought of, it just doesn't feel real in a weird way.
Is someone mowing their grass?
Okay, 1 second. Zach, are you back?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Try again.
That wasn't me, I don't think. Hold on a second.
Okay, we're good.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, you got me?
Yep, we're good.
All right. It's just amazing to me. Every couple hours, I'm sure like everybody else, I keep thinking like that this is really happening. And like I was on a Zoom with a bunch of you guys. We weren't recording it on Thursday night when the whole Rudy Gobert thing was happening. And I had worked very early that morning, so I was home. And I had seen a tweet mentioning that something odd was happening in the Oklahoma City game and they hadn't tipped off yet. And so I put on ESPN, the game they had on was the Dallas Mavericks game, and they were, you know, mentioning what had happened. And it was one of those things, I think it was obviously in addition to when this all started, but it was the first time it felt like this was affecting sports, because when there was the holdup, while we were waiting, I saw tweets from people saying, hey, you know, a couple days ago, Rudy Gobert was joking about this, touching microphones, but, you know, it can't be that. But it was that little thought, what if it is that? And then what goes down with Rudy Gobert goes down. And then the tidal wave of, I was on the Zoom with you guys. I remember when I literally said to you guys, the NBA is suspended. And you were like, what do you mean? I'm like, it just literally the NBA is suspended. I don't know what that means. Shams Charney and Woj had that. That was the only sentence. I don't know what that means. I've never heard of that. And then it felt, I was similar to you, Chad, in that it was really uneasy watching a lot of sporting events after that. And it felt like the NCAA was really, in terms of a sport, I mean, you can't think of a sport that could have been in a worse position or a worse situation. And then really the next day, it felt inevitable, obviously, that they were going to call the NCAA tournament. And then it's something I'll never forget. I was doing a volunteer event with an animal rescue, and because it was just before the period now where the idea of leaving the house seems ridiculously unsafe. And I'm in Connecticut, which is a state that's gone from one case to 46 in 3 days. But as I'm driving, I was listening to the broadcast, the ESPN radio broadcast of the ACC tournament, as they were getting ready for Florida State was in the noon tip. I can't remember who they were playing, but they were at that point, a bunch of conferences, including the American, had already announced their conference tournaments were canceled. And it was weird because this was obviously they were going to, like, all those conferences were going to play behind closed doors. At this point, about 12 o'clock, a bunch of conferences had then said they're also canceled. The ACC had not. In fact, a couple hours before that, John Swofford had been asked, and he didn't poo-poo it, but he said, like, you know, we considered it, but we thought, you know, we don't want to take away the experience from the student athletes. We want to give them the best opportunity. Well, meanwhile, you know, the horn goes off and the Florida State band is playing. Nobody's in the building, and only one team's – Florida State, only one of the two teams took the court to warm up. And it was – you know, just it was really eerie in addition to everything. Between that and then I pulled over to watch the end of the Big East tournament. And as good as job as Val Ackerman has done as commissioner, that, I mean, it's really a disgrace that they even started to play that game. But then it just became like waiting for the last two little embers to go out across the few conferences that for whatever reason hadn't canceled. But it was just so sad yesterday at 6 o'clock, instead of the most exciting time of the year to get the NCAA tournament bracket, I was watching our governor announce that all the schools in the state were closed. And it just reminds you that as much as we love college basketball, it really is not that important, because obviously what everyone's going through, especially Rocco and your part of the world, is so, so bad. And Zach Osterman, who's a IU beat reporter, who's friends with our friend Gail, and I've met him, and he's a great guy, and now he thinks he may have it, and he's in quarantine, and it's a really scary situation. As exciting as this time of year is for college basketball fans, it really makes you realize how unimportant it is, even though it matters when this happens. I just can't believe it's real.
Yeah, I got to tell you that, you know, as a Rutgers alum, not having my team made the tournament since 1991, and we were pretty much going to be announced on Selection Sunday. But I agree with you. The way I felt on Thursday morning before all these conference tournaments even got announced, you can scroll down the website if you want to look at it. I actually put a piece up on the website calling for the NCAA to do exactly what they did, shut the whole thing down. And and because I just felt at that point it was inappropriate to go ahead with these games. And thankfully they did do what I think is the right thing. Just
real quick before you move on, I wanted to say, I'm as sad as I am for everybody, I'm devastated for two groups. One for Rutgers, for you, Chad, and it had been so long and they had such a great season, but I'm very sad for San Diego State, but they had the season 2011 that was great. I mean, if you're a Dayton fan, I don't know how you, I mean, it's not what matters, but this is so devastating for Dayton. It's really, I can't think of a fan base that gets it worse. I mean, they were a legitimate threat to win a national championship, a great historic fan base. They had arguably the best player in the country. And it's just, it's so sick for them. I'm so absolutely sick for them. And for Anthony Grant and what he had done with his career, bringing back an Obi Toppin, it's awful for all the seniors nationwide across all the winter and spring sports. But I don't feel worse for anybody more than the Dayton Flyers. It's just so awful.
Well, I guess as a Rutgers fan, the good news is I already saw a preseason pick for next year, and they've already picked fifth in the Big Ten, but that's
that's the thing. Like, it's bad for Rutgers, but, like, they're probably going to – I know it seems weird to say this. They're probably going to make the tournament next year. I mean, Dayton's national championship window is once every 100 years.
Let me keep rolling here, and Mike, let me bring you in next.
Yeah, I was just thinking of this – I was just thinking of 9/11 and the recession in 2008 and 2009. But, you know, at least with 9/11, you know, I mean, I remember leaving work early. It was on a Tuesday, but then I went back to work in the office within a couple of days. And then sports, I remember the NFL season was pushed back a week. The Major League Baseball season they took a week off. But this is just unprecedented. I mean, even like with the Great Recession, it sucked, to lose your job, but at least I could do things like go work out or go to dine in at the restaurant and eat in there. You can't even do that now. And this is just unprecedented. And I know this is not going to be a short thing. This is the new normal and it's going to last for a while. But then back down the court, I remember Thursday, Michigan and Rutgers were warming up, and it just, even then right then it had an eerie feel because they were like, there's nobody there, nobody to see you warm up. And then the players from both teams said, you got to go back to the locker room. And I think right then you kind of knew what was going to happen. And, and they said the Big Ten tournament was canceled. And then you had teams like Duke and Kansas saying, we're going to suspend all athletics. And, when you had, one program after another doing the same thing, there's no way you could run the NCAA tournament. There's just no way. And just unprecedented, unbelievable. I hope I don't have to go through this again.
Yeah, Mike, I think that analogy to 9/11 is kind of interesting there, especially because with 9/11, I remember the way the nation kind of pulled together around baseball games a week later. That was, something we could all go out and do. I remember going to Phillies games myself during September of that year when they started playing again, just the way that we could come together as large groups. And that's one of the things with this is we can't come together as large groups. The advisory today is don't get in a big group bigger than 10. And even if you are, stay 6 feet away from everybody. So we have to stay apart. So this is, something that's going to take so much longer to figure out moving forward. But Joby, let me go to you next.
A lot of the sentiments have already been made, but I do have one differing point of view that I think a lot of folks in the panel know. I actually do not think the NCAA did the right thing here. I think the NBA did. I think the NCAA should have followed the NBA's lead. Adam Silver is showing why he is the best commissioner in sports. He acted swiftly, smartly, prudently, and he used the word suspension. He suspended the season. The NCAA, most certainly, all the things with the conference tournaments, conference tournaments had to be put down, at that point. You had to stop the world. It had changed. But the NCAA, for a lot of the reasons John, points out, Zach talks about Dayton, John talks about Howard and other, seniors. The fact of the matter is the NCAA could have said suspension. Cancellation is a real possibility down the road. Is a real possibility, higher than 50%, you could even argue. But to completely put it out, unlike most of the other sports, was, I think, a quick snap decision that was rushed. And the fact is, I think they were running from behind because you had all these conference tournaments. I know the conferences get to run their own tournaments because the NCAA was still holding out hope for the immediacy. They started to look bad, and they pulled a PR move, and the PR move moved the pendulum too far. It could amount to nothing. My complaint could amount to nothing if we're not over this as a society to have been able to create May Madness. Then, my complaints are, worth the amount that people watching this podcast paid for. But I truly believe you should have held out the possibility instead of canceling, at least until most students' academic school year was done. If you have to make it a part of the spring sport, and yes, you should have done the same thing with spring sports as well. I don't think the moves going forward on granting the spring sports at least a year of eligibility, we haven't talked about that yet. I don't know how wise that is as the solution. Because all of a sudden you're dealing with not just if they give waivers on roster sizes, but because you have incoming freshmen, but also you're stunting player development. And, a lot of these freshmen or a lot of the juniors wanting to be seniors, the next year and be the captains aren't going to be that because if a senior decides to stay around in a non-revenue sport, forget the revenue sports, put them aside. My point of view on this comes from the point of view in my background as an athlete, non-rev based, who chose their school based on academics. I could have competed at another school, gotten more time on the track, but I chose my school based on academics. I was one of those athletes, you could say, that, you know, went professional in something other than the sport I was competing in. There was no, you know, NBA lottery or NFL lottery. I knew that. So that's what clouds my judgment. But, man, I wouldn't have liked somebody coming down prematurely. And right now it is premature. We don't know. There is a lot of unknowns, and we don't know. And the last thing I'll say is my little piece of insight into this. I'm very fortunate. My next door neighbor, and I would not spread rumor, is directly from my next door neighbor, who happens to be an emergency room physician, who also has done Doctors Without Borders, has worked in Ebola areas. So I trust his judgment a lot on this. And all the steps that are being made in society, you know, I think we all agree that prudence and what's happening is the right thing to prevent, you know, the spread. But at the end of the day, the people most subject, this is, at the end of the day, a voracious, much more harsh version of the flu. There are people, and people die during flu season. This is not to, and this will kill more people than the flu. So this is not to put to the side, but most folks out there will be able to survive. And we have to take it seriously. You have to do everything you can to not be put yourself and others at risk, because this is very serious. But at the end of the day, and the reason why we're talking is we both have young children. If you have young children, ironically, you have been exposed to different strains of this. So there's a reason why it's COVID-19. There have been other strains. And if you've been exposed to those other strains, which, by the way, run rampant through daycare, if you have any of kids through daycare, that's why kids have been less affected by this than normal. It's not they're immune. I'm not trying to pass off, but there is a greater resistance to it, to those who are parents of those kids. But that doesn't mean, that's not to minimize the fact that I also have a coworker whose mother is in the hospital in New York, in the ICU unit, due to this. This is very serious. We have to take it serious, and society is, but I think society also must recognize that we can't cut off, make permanent decisions when we don't have to. That's why I fault the NCAA here. A permanent decision was made when permanence, and you might have to make that decision down the road, but permanent decisions don't have to be made. Don't go and withdraw all your money from the bank right now and think the world's going to end. Don't buy up 10,000 pieces of toilet paper. You know, I mean, the fact of the matter is you have to keep your head about you at this time. And the word of the day is prudence. Be prudent out there. That's my public's PSA. And I apologize if it comes across flippant to a degree, but I truly believe that we will get through this. We are a society. We will get through this. It might take a little while, but who knows? If we get testing up and running, we get proper testing up and running and be able to determine where the illness comes from in particular instance, and those tests can be run in 3 to 4 hours, it's going to be a game changer at that point. That game changer might not happen for months, but it might happen in weeks. So let's all take a deep breath, be smart, and go forward with our lives.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing here, though, is if you are not feeling well, to stay at home, because it's not are you going to get so sick that you're not going to make it through. 98-99% of the people will survive this without any serious problems, but it's the risk of spreading it to those 1%.
Yeah, exactly right.
Are at risk. And so by you going out there and saying, oh, I could tough this out, I can go to work despite this, you may have just seriously put somebody else's life in danger. And that is why if you or anybody in your house is not feeling well, you've got to just lock it down.
Bend the curve.
Yeah, exactly. David.
You know, it's up until about 30 seconds ago, I didn't really know how I wanted to go about this. And it's like, did I even want to come on? Did I want to come on as the puppet or a picture of the puppet? I even debated coming on as myself, quickly threw that out the window. I'm not that interesting. I appreciate what Joby said, putting his, you know, thoughts and opinions out there. A couple things. The COVID-19, the 19 comes from 2019. If you read where they got the name from, it wasn't like there was a COVID-16, 17, and 18. And the other thing that kind of shed some light on, I'm not saying I agree with it, because at first I shared the same sentiments. Why don't they just postpone this? Why cancel it altogether? I'm not saying this is why they needed to cancel it. I'm just explaining what the thought process was. The NCAA and the Board of Governors is predominantly run by university presidents. And it was the Board of Governors that made the call. It wasn't necessarily Mark Emmert, although he announced it. And a lot of the presidents and a lot of the ADs wanted to focus their attention on how to take care of the students and the faculty and the university communities as they were going through something unprecedented themselves. They're worried about how are you going to transfer classes that have never been online to online? What are we going to do with residence halls? What are we going to do with dining services? How are we going to service students that might not be able to go home if we close the campus? There's just a lot of moving parts, most of which I can't even think of. Like, if we shut down, who's going to clean the bathrooms? Things that are, you know, they had a lot of decisions to make to when business normally goes smoothly, that suddenly it's not. That I think the decision was made that we don't need to be worrying about how to travel to games, how to reschedule games, how to get hotels, how to get meals. We're just going to cut it. We're just going to shut it all down entirely just because we've got enough to worry about already. Now, I'm not saying they did the right thing or the wrong thing. I'm saying that's what led them to say, we're just done. You know, just kind of putting it out there, kind of rewinding a little bit, it's kind of a different temperament right now. I normally start off the podcast with the woohoo, it's Hoops HD report, and all happy and excited and pretending to be drunk. But when this first hit, I can't help sitting here now thinking that I have been totally incorrect in every assumption I've made about this. When it first hit in early to mid-January, I was very dismissive. And even when it hit the United States, and we started hearing about what was happening in Seattle, I felt horrible that there were, like, the fatalities at the nursing home, but I still chalked it up to an individual tragedy, not a national emergency. And I openly criticized Chicago State. Like, I thought what they were doing was utterly ridiculous, not traveling to the games. I didn't think there was any risk. Same to a degree with Kansas City. It turned out I couldn't have been more wrong about any of it. This was a very serious, serious matter, and it is. And, you know, all the way up until as recently as about a week and a half ago, my thought process was actually, I hate that we're having to deal with this virus. It's going to be hanging over the NCAA tournament and going to make people, you know, people are going to be worried about this, like, innocuous thing, and it's going to take away from this great experience. I mean, that is just how wrong I was about 9 days ago. Now it's like I'm worried for not so much myself, but I'm worried for my friends. I have a lot of friends that live in Italy. If you watch the show regularly and you really pay attention, every now and then you'll catch an Italian word or some sort of Easter egg, because I know that some of them watch, believe it or not. And like, what they are experiencing over there is unlike anything that any flu virus has ever done over here. One of my friends, she's a doctor, and she is exhausted. And, you know, to see where they are now and where we were and where they were 10 days ago, we're essentially where they were 10 days ago. And it's like, is this going to keep going up? You know, I'm worried about my family that's older and is in the high risk group. I had a friend that contracted this that was in the high risk group. Fortunately, he is coming out of it. And you know, so I'm worried about that. And then, like, you're also sort of worried about the social reaction. We live in what is highly a service economy. And while a lot of people may not be getting sick, they may have lost their source of income. I would encourage you know, if you're an Uber cab driver or a waiter, or you work at a hotel, or you work for an airline, or you work in retail, or you work in anything, you might not have an income for the foreseeable future. And that is scary for them, for me, and like for all that. So, and I don't really know what to do about it. Some of the things I would suggest is continue to support your local restaurants. I would hope that they're going to be able to remain open, not for dine-in, but maybe for takeout. If you do that, be sure and tip, even though you're not dining in. Tip big, they may need it. I would like to hope that while they might not be able to serve, maybe they could drive food to people or something. Maybe we could mobilize this service economy that's suddenly out of work to kind of help people when they're shut in. You know, I'd like to see communities start to do that. A couple of other things, just knowing what happened in the selection committee room, they never got really around to doing anything more than the initial ballot because of all the news that was coming in and out. And you wonder, would they have even finished the selection process on time anyway? And they debated, I guess you heard, like it was proposed, should we cut the field to 16? The committee talked about it, unanimously voted it down. I'm glad they did that. There was talk of, do we build the bracket even though we're not going to release it? I'm glad that they didn't do that. And as sorry that I am that this is over, I really think that our attention now needs to be focused on getting through this. Once we are through this, in my wildest dreams, I think people are going to want social events again. I think we're going to want to go to concerts and sporting events. And I could foresee a situation where maybe a summer basketball, some sort of jamboree format is viewed as a public good. And you know, maybe we can get it back or get some variation of it back. It won't be March Madness the way we're used to seeing it, but maybe we'll get to see college basketball in some sort of jamboree knockout format. I don't know. That's not important, because if we don't get through this, then we won't get to do any of that. But anyway, the last thing I kind of wanted to say is, when you hear the term, there's a couple things that have crossed my head. One is, should I infect myself? I actually had that thought. A friend of mine has it. Should I just go help him out, come back, self-quarantine, and get it over with? Thinking that I don't like feeling like I'm afraid of people, and I don't want people to have that reaction of me, and then this way I'm not worried about it. The reason you shouldn't do that is because not everybody is recovering, and even some that are recovering, at least in Italy and China, they're showing damaged lungs. Like, they're not fully recovering to 100% to what they were before they were sick. Most people are, but not everyone is. And the other thing is that you don't know, even though you're quarantined, you could still end up infecting other people. So if you're having that idea in your head, no medical professional is recommending that you do that. You know, the 2-3% mortality rate, it might not sound that high, but how many Facebook friends do you have? 300, 400? Imagine if 20 of them were to get killed. I mean, that is a very significant mortality rate. That's high enough to where if it spreads wide enough, you will probably undoubtedly know someone that dies from this. So that is something else to think about. And the other thing is just to implore that everybody do listen to your doctors more than anybody else. Like, listen to your healthcare professionals about the social distancing. Don't shake hands. And if you work in the adult entertainment industry, please do not shake hands before or after you're performing your act to spread the virus. That's my last, like, good thought. But anyway, thanks. It's not the normal David Griggs, but thanks for putting this together, Jim.
I'll just throw this out there, David. I have seen already in my area where all restaurants were ordered to close as of 8 p.m. tonight that other than takeout or delivery, that a lot of the ones that even weren't doing delivery are already offering delivery services.
Good. Like
you mentioned, where they will actually just do is they're not going to ring your doorbell. They're going to leave the food at the door, go back to their car, call you to tell you that's out there. So okay. As far as tipping, I agree. You're probably going to have to tip, on the credit card when you place the order. But yeah. On that note, I do want to switch things. You left a little light note there, and I want to switch to a few lighter topics here. First of all, if you've been following on the website, We've been posting here over the last few days a little column that we're calling The Tournament That Wasn't. What we've been doing is simulating out all the college basketball games that weren't played, not only in NCAA tournament, but all the conference tournaments. So if you go on the website, which I just put up on the screen here, click The Tournament That Wasn't. You can go down here. You can see the conference tournaments that have already been simulated out. It's going to be two released each day for about another 5 or 6 days until they're all up there, at which point, with those results added in, we're going to be going ahead and we're going to be selecting an NCAA tournament and then simulating that out as well. So if you want to find out what could have possibly happened, you know, it's kind of fun. You can even read the games one at a time to give you a little more of an excitement level there, and you won't see the results until you get to the end of each posting. The other thing is that, David, every year we have what we call the AC8 tournament. And I want to
end on this note. Yes, we love the AC8.
This is a tournament that we created here at Hoops HD. AC does not necessarily stand for Atlantic City 8. It was just kind of in response to the very short-lived Vegas 16 tournament, I think. But
the greatest postseason event ever.
What I want to do is go ahead and, because even though the coronavirus and COVID-19 got rid of the postseason, we decided that we still were going to announce our field for the AC8 and, you know, maybe put the games on suspension. Maybe at some point this summer when things get better, we will go ahead and have them played. But here is our AC8 tournament bracket this year. And
the venue. How about that venue?
First of all, if you remember back
Chad, wait a minute. Where's the court?
Well, it's in a ballroom, just like the, you know, all those early season events that were played in ballrooms.
Right, but they had a court in the ballroom.
We have a ballroom. We spent a lot of money on this ballroom, David, especially because we got to reserve it for a few more months. So we do have a ballroom there. I hear a buzz of some sort. I think I'm being buzzered. I want to go ahead and reveal the field here. As you can see, we don't have an 8-team tournament. We have a 9-team tournament. One team gets a bye all the way to the finals. The other 8 playoff. And then we even have a MEAC bonus game there at the bottom. I'm going to start by revealing that team that gets a bye right to the finals. Of course, it is the Brown Bears, who were, as you may recall,
the Ocean State tournament.
Yes, there you go.
Great time with that.
Yes, so they beat Bryant and Rhode Island to win the Ocean State tournament this year. And so Brown is our team that gets the bye.
Now, I love that Johnson and Wales was involved in a MEAC.
Yes, the MEAC bonus game of the Ocean State tournament was Johnson and Wales, Rhode Island against Brown. Exactly.
Zach hasn't seen the Ocean State tournament record.
No, it's everything I dreamed it could be.
And Brown did win the MEAC bonus game. So yeah.
The other 8 games are also divided into regions. So we're going to have a name for each region. So the first region that we have here is, of course, the Battle of the Alamo region. We brought this up during the regular season.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. There are two teams that play in the state of San Antonio that, despite the fact they've both been in Division I now for a card at word stake for 5 years, they've never played a regular season game against each other. It is the Battle of the Alamo. It will be a great battle. So we're going to force it upon them in this event. Texas San Antonio, of course, and Incarnate Word, the Battle of the Alamo.
Yes.
A must-play
game. All right.
Game.
Love that one.
Excellent. Our second region, we're going to do things a little different from here on out. The second region, it's called the Best Convention Region.
Yes.
And what we have here is you know, one of the great conventions of all time, the Constitutional Convention, where our Constitution of the United States was written. Yeah. It's going up against
the Con.
Yes.
Of course, as you already hinted, Con Expo, Con AGG. And you know what? I don't think we even need to bother playing that game. I mean, they're clearly.
Was it better or worse that the Mountain West played a week earlier?
I guess it was better.
It was a lot better. I'll tell you. I'd argue
an extra bid to a tournament that never happens.
I'd argue it's also much better for San Diego State, because if they were in the Dayton position, they would feel a lot worse right now.
Our third region here, going on down, is the Best Rivalry region.
Okay,
So we're actually going to have rivalries squaring off against each other. The first rivalry that's in this region is the Nokoiwu Cup. It is the Northern Colorado, Eastern Washington region. This is our good friend John Sleek, who's not with us tonight. He invented a lot of these rivalries, and he invented the Nokomi-Wu Cup, and we absolutely love that.
They're going to lose to the one who I bet you have.
Stalika has this dry sense, and when he starts making up trophy games, I lose it every time.
Their opponent is the Wynwood Cup between Winthrop and Longwood.
No, when he said the brown mouth, I have a
So they are bringing a higher love to that.
Oh, yes, they are the Wynwood Cup.
I knew that was coming. Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. Who invents rivalries at the University? They celebrate great historic athletic rivalries with the University of Central Florida.
I think that might have been the inspiration for the entire thing, Zach. Actually, so.
I'm sure it was.
The final region we have is the best halftime show region.
Oh,
God. All right. This is the MEAC bonus game, baby.
Now, this is a good one. Now, Baby Races. I know, Titel, you're a big fan of the Baby Races halftime.
Love the Baby Race.
That's good. But they've got a real tough battle here because they got to go up against the one and only Red Panda.
This isn't a bet. No, this is a 116. It's not. I don't care if the babies do backflips. I saw Red Panda drop 3 balls in Hartford this year. It was still the highlight of my year. This isn't even a discussion. Also, update. I have been called by the people at the Alamo Dome. They would like to make the entire Alamo Dome available for the Battle of the Alamo. Ever since the AAF moved out, they really need some tenants. So if we can fill 45,000 to 50,000 seats for that.
I bet we could fill that.
Yeah. How about a doubleheader, a football game and a basketball game on the same ticket? Like you play the football game in the morning, then you build, move the seating around. Real novel idea.
Both
at the same time.
Yeah, you can play both at the same time with a curtain.
Last but not least, those of you that remember about 8, 9, 10 years ago, the MEAC had 2 transitional teams at the same time. And in order to let those teams participate in the conference tournament, they had them play each other on the final day of the day of the championship game in the MEAC in a regular season game between those 2 transitional teams. They called it the bonus game. We love the MEAC bonus game. So all tournaments have to have a MEAC bonus game. Our MEAC bonus game this year is Kevin Stallings and his 3-year show cause penalty. Going up, I'm sorry, Mr. Tartel, but going
Rome
up
Allen. Against
Rome Allen and his 15-year show cause penalty.
Never,
you can advance Jerome right now.
Never have the word show and cause carried more weight than the Kevin Stallings. I mean, God, and I feel bad that I didn't even want to be on the night that got announced, and I couldn't do it, and I let down America, literally, to the degree where that is why the tournament got canceled. And by the way, we love the MEAC bonus game. I mean, not as much as the college insider tournament people do, who liked it so much they decided their postseason tournament should be nothing but time historical matchups. That were not at all confusing to try to follow the 4th biggest postseason tournament. I'm sorry, 5th. I mean, the AC8's obviously bigger.
I guess on that note, let me run through each of you for any other, if you have any other quick final thoughts here. I know we've said a lot already, but if you want to,
What happened to the Arch Baron Cup? That's a great rivalry. Yeah.
That is. We didn't invent that one, though, so that's why it was left off. Good point.
You got to have some standards. If you're going to make you have to make up your own trophy.
The Arch Baron Cup website is a scream. I can't even. Oh, it's awesome.
Maybe you can save 10 minutes to recover from just thinking about it.
Let me just quickly run through each of you for any other thoughts here. Rocco, let me start with you.
Yeah, well, I thought everybody had fantastic reflection on what happened last week and where we are. It was just great to be a part of a panel like this. Chad, thank you for organizing it. I'd like to leave on a little bit more on a positive note with all of this going on. You know, as the one of the bracketologists that joined the show, I've basically taken kind of a data and research approach to how to prepare for what's next. As I mentioned earlier, we've had to start preparing for this probably well before a lot of the other parts of the country. And with me being originally from Seattle, my family and a lot of close friends are up there. It hit them in February. Yeah, I think it could just do everybody a lot of good. We have a lot of smart people here on the panel and watching the show, I'm sure, that can do the same, can really help you learn more before anything's coming from any politician, or especially just learning from foreign doctors has been really helpful for us. Really hasn't been too many surprises once we started following along, but some really positive stories coming from Italy just recently is they've now gotten used to this lifestyle of being, you know, shelter in place for a good 3 weeks or so. And there's some really neat articles coming in on how much of life they're experiencing that they completely lost touch with because they're not on the go, like trying to get to the office and do everything in a hurry, like a lot of them, how a lot of America works and a lot of the world works when things are normalized, quote unquote. But they're getting back in touch with like getting projects done around the house, getting closer with their friends and family, doing more meaningful activities. And they're getting like this a whole new perspective on life. And I'm actually kind of excited to see what happens here in our country, because I think that could really help bring not only the country together, but make our experience here on this earth, when we get so many years to live here, much more impactful and powerful. And I think it could be spun into a lot of positives for us.
Yeah, that's a great, great point there. Tytel, let me go to you.
Nothing too remarkable. I mean, I'm still very sad that the tournament isn't happening. That being said, if you had told me a week ago that there wouldn't be a tournament, but there would be another Patino in the college ranks, I wouldn't have believed you. So the good thing about college basketball is there's always something new around the corner. So at least we have something to look forward to next year.
Yes. How quickly until Rick Pitino gets Iona on probation? Zach.
We want to talk about things that won't die. Jesus Christ. It happened so fast and it made so much sense in its own regard. And I do want to actually allude to that. I haven't always been the biggest Tim Clues fan on this show, but I do want to say he did a great job at Iona, and I do wish him good health. He's been through a lot lately, and he's certainly got the class and dignity that the man now in that position has no capability of possessing. Other than that, I mean, there are a couple of important awards, Chad, for us to clean up for the country.
Yes.
I don't know if you want to start with the Stallings Award or the Centenary Award.
You can announce them both, Zach. Go for it.
Well, I got the vibe. We all agreed the Stallings Award, which of course goes to the worst school ostensibly trying at the sport of basketball, the worst power conference school. I think it goes to the one we agreed. It had to go to the one whose coach looked like he was actively participating in a pandemic during a conference tournament game. So I'd like to congratulate the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Thankfully, Fred Hoiberg is doing okay, but you talk about good images that you project during championship week for recruiting. I'm not entirely certain that Fred Hoiberg having a physical breakdown next to an assistant coach trying to bathe himself in hand sanitizer during an actual literal World Health Organization pandemic is going on the first page of the recruiting brochure, but they'll wedge it in there somewhere. I think we all agree on that one, that Nebraska takes the virus cake there. Obviously thankful he's okay and wishing him the best. You know, I don't know, maybe during a pandemic, if you don't feel good, listen to freaking doctors and don't try and tough it out in the 12-14 game at the Big Ten tournament. I don't know. Maybe that's me. Maybe I'm the
weirdo. Don't try and tough it out. Stay home. I mean, seriously, stay home.
Yeah, it's part of why
thankfully it was just the regular flu for him because it could have been really scary. But go ahead.
It's part of why I'm in favor of these tough measures in terms of quarantines and stuff, because it is proof again that, like, I don't think Fred Hoiberg was misintention. You literally need to save people from themselves. You could argue that a case of that would have been preventing him from taking the Nebraska job, but here we are. Yeah, he needed help from himself there. And the Centenary Award, now we did have – this will lead to some rousing discussion. The worst team in Division I. We have a lot of really good candidates. I think somewhere – it's coming out of either Howard, Mississippi Valley State, Kennesaw State, or Chicago State. They're in that order on KenPom in terms of the bottom four, the fatal four, if you will. I shouldn't say that given the current situation. The worst four in the country. I'm actually going to go with the team ranked the highest out of all of them, Howard, because Howard won two of their last four games to improve to 4-29. But the fact that they played two games in a MEAC tournament that never concluded, that they won a tournament game in a MEAC tournament that never concluded, I actually enjoy that. So my vote is for Howard, but we're going to have to go around. This is going to be this.
Well I think you already were outvoted. I think that Kennesaw State won the award. but only one win on the season.
Howard Kennesaw had three. They beat Gardner-Webb on December 13th and lost 20 out.
Yeah. So congrats to Kennesaw. Congrats to the Owls. But let me keep going around here. Mike, how about you? Any other final thoughts? Mike, we lost your sound here.
Mike, you got to unmute yourself. Yeah. Okay. Oh, there you go.
All right. It's a silent protest of the Howard hate.
First of all, I want to thank all of you for making this possible. Not that many people in the world that share my appreciation for college basketball. And this is, you know, to me, this is the normally this is would be one of the peak times of the year. And just really appreciate the opportunity to be part of this group. Not many people can say that. So, yeah, like what Rocco was saying, I mean, it's definitely going to be – we're going to have to reassess and reevaluate our priorities. And, you know, maybe some things we have done little of or had not done before, we will have more time to do that and just give us time to, just to do a lot of reflecting and evaluating.
Thanks, Mike. Yeah, great, great point. And we think we need that. Joby, let me go to you.
Yeah, no. Zach stole my thunder.
That's not a good thing.
Do a little Kennesaw. And by the way, it is Kennesaw State, no doubt. They hung in there because Gardner-Webb actually is a competent team that they beat. But then Hampton's run, actually, in my opinion, you win a road game at a conference championship finalist. That is your disqualifier. And so, yeah, Howard lost out at the very end, and the J&G at the very end agreed.
Yeah, Howard beat Hampton during the regular season.
Beat Hampton in the regular season, and Hampton made a run in their conference tournament in the Big South all the way to the final. That's when all of a sudden, hey, your win over Gardner-Webb was good, but Hampton's just as good, and so we'll go to overall record. So, but basketball component, you want to know, and Zach, you know where I'm about to go. You want to know the team that is most taken aback by the sports world coming to an end. Team who has the best record in the history of
doesn't count, Zach. Doesn't count.
Across the no team had ever started off as hot. They were within 1 week of clinching it earlier, clinching the English Premier League earlier than any other team in the history, 100 plus years of English football.
Yep.
Now, if this season is done, it is. Man United fans will say, Man United 20, COVID 19, Liverpool still 18.
They're never going to win. It literally took a global pandemic.
30 years of pain and frustration does not come to
me. I appreciate it because it's objectively, like the reason isn't, but it's funny. Like it's. Yeah. It took a global pandemic.
Okay. David, let me finish off the show here.
Zach and I like rival clubs. I can still claim that Everton and Liverpool are tied over the last 30 years, and that makes me a little happy. But anyway, I'm just kind of – getting back to the basketball standpoint of it, I mean, I love the storylines every year, but, God, we had some great storylines this year that didn't get to play out. And I hate that for us as fans, but I especially hate it for – the players the most. I mean, I kind of alluded that into something I wrote for Hoops HD a little bit ago. And I love this time of year. It's, you know, the conference tournaments, it's the NCAA tournament, it's St. Patrick's Day, and it's sort of spring break all happening at once. But I totally understand not wanting people to get sick and, like, you know, nauseous and headaches and body aches and, like, all the things that come with it. And I also understand not wanting people to get the coronavirus. So, I mean, you know, kind of shutting that down there. But anyway, I think that once we get through this, which I'm sure we will, I do think it's going to get worse before it gets better, but I do think it will get better, that people are going to want their sports back. They're going to want their social activities back. They're going to want their concerts back. And if not to try and put a silver lining on a big pile of crap, but you know, I think next November people are going to want their basketball back. Maybe not as much as we do, but closer to it than what's normal. So I don't know. And I still hope that maybe we get some sort of jamboree this summer to make up for what we lost.
Well, I guess on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us not only tonight, but throughout the entire season. We will try to do at least one podcast every month throughout the off season, starting sometime in April, keep you up to date on everything that's going on in the college basketball world. But for now, on behalf of Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org and Joby Fortson up here, David Griggs down in the center square, Mike Chod, John Titel, Zach's down there, a couple of our colleagues who joined us throughout the year that weren't able to make it tonight, John Stalika, Brian Black, Matt Sikowski, on behalf of everybody here at Hoops HD, we do want to thank you for joining us. We'll be back again real soon with more podcasts, and even more importantly, we'll be back again in October and November getting ready for the next season. So everyone, please stay healthy, stay safe, and take care of yourselves, and we'll talk to you again real soon.